just ask that you would move mighty over the congregation, that we can hear what the Spirit has to say to the church this evening. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for that. Lord, I pray not only that we would hear, but we would be obedient to the call in which you've called us, Lord Father. That we would, as my sister says, totally submit, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for those things. In your wonderful Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As you know, we are in 1 Peter, right? And we were in 1 Peter chapter 3, and I was going to start in the beginning of it, where it talks about what you wives submit, be in subjection to your husbands and all that. But as I was looking at today's events, I think we ought to scoot over to verse 8. Alright, and then after verse 8, then next week we'll roll back, because I don't want to miss it. But with the turmoil and stuff that's going on, a lot of people in the church are wondering how we ought to act, how we ought to react. What is the Christian thing to do in the middle of all this uprising? What would God want us to do? Well, I'm glad that you asked, although I didn't hear anyone ask, but I'm glad that you did. Because the Bible has some pretty squared away reactions that we ought to have. As Christians, how we're supposed to continually love each other, right? As Christians, how we're not supposed to render evil for evil. As Christians, how we're supposed to always hand out or have the arm of compassion first and foremost. As the Bible says, we do not war after flesh and blood, but we war against powers and principalities in the heavenly places. Christians are supposed to definitely war, but we're not supposed to necessarily take up arms or be mean to somebody else as we do this spiritual battle. Because our enemy is not necessarily a Republican or a Democrat.
No.
Our enemy isn't necessarily necessarily out. All right, our enemy is not the Black Lives Matter or the Antifa people or the Trumpers or these people or those people. That's not the enemy. Mm-hmm. It's not the constitutionalist. It's not the liberalist. It's not the communist. It's none of those things. Our enemy is the powers of darkness.
Amen.
That's what the enemy is. Mm-hmm. Now, how do we overcome the powers of darkness, the powers that be in our time? Well, we love one another. We love. We stay in the Word. We obey Jesus. We walk by faith, not by sight. Disturbing things are happening all over. All right, this ain't no new thing.
Mm-mm.
And a lot of folks say, "Well, Antigonus did this, or Antigonus did that, or this, that, and the other." And I'm not all into that thing, because they're struggling for powers that are in this world.
Right.
We got a promise of the kingdom.
Amen.
All right? Jesus said, when he talked to Pontius Pilate, and I'm coming more to understand this the closer we get to the day, as Pontius Pilate said, "Are you a king?" And Jesus said, "Why are you asking me?" Right? Now, are you asking or somebody tell you to ask? He said, "Yeah, I'm a king, but my kingdom's not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my people would fight. But I'm not of this world." Remember, Christians, you are in this world, but you're not of this
Amen.
World.
Amen. Right.
Right? We are pilgrims. We're passing through. This is not your home.
Amen.
This ain't your home.
Thank God.
Amen. Thank God. Amen, sister. You're absolute. Praise God for that. And here, after Peter talks about husbands and wives, and that's a very important thing, and we will get into that, but I think for today, we're going to move over to verse 8 of 1 Peter chapter 3. And Peter here is saying, finally, be all of one mind. All right? We need to be together on this.
Amen.
All right? We've got to have the same mindset on this. Be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful and courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but counterwise blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing.
Amen.
All right, come on, let's dig into that. Just this little bit right there. All right, because there's a lot of Christians right now that are upset. They're angry. There's a lot of people just angry in the whole world. Here, Peter is saying, for the church, We need to remember compassion. How did God show you compassion? While you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you, right? Showing compassion to people who don't deserve to have compassion in our eyes. Right? We don't think. I tell you, if I was just on my flesh side, I would be all in. Man, let's break into the White House. Let's burn it down to the ground. You know, there ain't nothing good there. Let's start all over. Hold on now. That's before you were in Christ. All right? You are a Christian now. All right? We're called to a different understanding. We're called to love and compassion. We're called to be united in mind and spirit. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who considered it not robbery to be equal with God.
Amen.
All right? Now let me ask you this. You're a Christian. Do you believe that you are in Christ Jesus?
Amen?
Amen? Are you there? You're in Christ Jesus? So when Christ Jesus was going to be persecuted, they come to him in the garden of Gethsemane, and it's just before his crucifixion, before he got all the... And they came with him with torches and staves. What did he do? I mean, he except for saying, "I am," and everybody fell over. But after, even after Peter pulled his sword and he whacked off Malchus's ear, what did Jesus do? He put it back on. You know? I would have put it on upside down just because I could. But Right? But he had compassion even to those who were about ready to bring him to the trials. He had compassion for those. Now, as he told Peter, "Don't you know that I could call to the Father and he would send legions of angels? And he would wipe this thing out." He said, "For this reason I was born." Church, do you think God knew when you were going to be born? Did he know the turmoil that America was going to be in? Absolutely he was. Do you know that he's sovereign? Do you believe that he is sovereign?
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
So is this good? Amen? Does it tell? All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called for his purpose.
Thank God for everything.
Amen.
Even the fleas that Lori had
moved. Thank you.
Thank God for.
Yes.
She saved her when she found out.
Yes.
The guards wouldn't go near her bed because of the fleas.
Yeah.
And that's what saved her, and she was released by accident, of course.
Yeah.
But she thanked God reluctantly for the fleas.
Amen. Right? Thank God for all things. In all things, give him thanks. Give him glory. And as Christians, we need to remember that compassion, that tender-heartedness. And when somebody comes against us because they have a different political understanding than what we have, they come and they're angry at you, they want to kill you, they want to do evil to you, what does the Bible say right there?
Turn the other cheek.
Well, that's what Jesus said, turn the other cheek, right? And that's good.
And it's not easy.
No, it ain't.
You got to have a lot of prayer and you got to have a lot of growth.
Yep. You do. Well, your flesh has got to die, right? It just doesn't happen. It's easy to say.
Yep.
But the action of that takes maturity.
Yes.
It means you got to have faith to do that. And to have faith, you need to go through some things with God. God is in the process of having America... not just America, the world go through some things.
Yeah.
All right? Like I was saying, it's a little over 400 years since America was founded, and the book of Judges is just about 400 years long. You know? And you look at the digression of the Hebrew people.
Yeah. Yeah.
First, they raised up a generation that knew not God. All right? And then after that, they started doing the things that was right in their own eyes. And when you get into the end of Judges, they were using the excuse, "Because we have not a king, we're doing the things that we're doing." And they were doing horrible things.
Yeah.
America's doing horrible things right now.
Yeah.
It's not just America, but the whole world is. But didn't Jesus tell us that this is what was going to happen? These are the things. This is the stuff that he said was going to go on. So why are we dismayed? I mean, this group here on Wednesday night, I don't think that you are. But there are a lot of people that I love that are biblically sound people that are in a tizzy. You know, it's like you rub your cat backwards. You ever do that? You grab them by the tail and rub them this way? They don't like you. Make sure you have them declawed first. But see, so many Christians, they act like it's going against their grain. See, to be a mature Christian, to be perfect in every way before God, we got to love people in the middle of that. We've got to do like it says here, have compassion one for another. Love as brethren, being pitiful or charitable toward each other. And it doesn't mean the way that Americans think of pity, poor, pitiful guy, and you don't do anything for him. This pity is a little bit different. It has an action to it. I make sure that if you have a need, I need it. And I don't do it for anything back. And as the church, that's what we're supposed to do. Especially inside the body of Christ.
Right?
Now, we can share some love with the outsiders, no doubt. But the people who are born again, the people of the ecclesia, of the church body, we need to make sure that we're together on this.
Amen.
There's coming time in America really, really soon that is going to be hard, probably harder than what we've ever seen it. The young people voted in socialism this past election cycle.
Yeah.
We haven't lived through socialism. I've lived very close to countries that were socialist. It's not pretty. Okay, it's not pretty. Food lines are never pretty. And it's not going to be long. America's going to be there. But that's the time for the church to rise. Right? That's the time that we make sure that we are on the same page, having this one mind.
Amen.
And when we do that, remember, they're going to hate you for it. Because Jesus said, you know, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. The servant is not better than his master. Right? So expect the world not to like you because you want to love on them. Expect the world not to understand that we come together as a body of believers, loving one another, caring for one another, taking care of each other the way that the Bible says to. But also know this, that it's not going to be easy. Nothing's easy about this time that we're coming into. But God. Amen? Favorite two words in the whole Bible. Things look bad, but God's in charge. It looks like you're going to die, but God's got a place for you. It looks like it's going to be hard, but God's got an easy place. Take my yoke upon you because it's light and easy. It's time to yoke up to Jesus. Amen? It's time to get close to the Word of God. And stop just reading this Bible and start applying what it has to say. Amen? And so we're not to render evil for evil or a railing for a railing, but counterwise blessing. So when they come against you and rail you or do evil to you, you're supposed to bless them. That means show joy. Blessing means joy. It's joy. So, all right, they come against you, they say all kind of nasty stuff, and they maybe do something to you, right? Not like the Southerners say, bless your heart. But I mean, really, bless them, right? Bless them. Show them good. Show them good for what they're doing. Show them good for the days that you have. Blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called. Now, catch that. It's not that you're doing it in and of yourself. You're called by God to do this. And if God calls you to do this, He will give you the sustenance to do it with. Alright? He will give you the spirit to do it. He'll give you the courage to do it. He will give you, He will supply your needs as you walk in obedience to what the Word of God says. Doesn't say it's going to be easy. Doesn't say it's going to be pretty. He says, I'll take care of it. Trust me. Walk with me. Follow the Word of God. Love people even when they don't love you. And guess what? You might die, but I got a place for you. Guess what? You might go. You might not have the food you want to eat, but you will eat every day. Mm-hmm. Right?
Bless him.
Amen. Bless his name. Bless him because he cared for you. And if you take these biblical principles and you apply them in your life, then you can test God in this. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying tempt God. But if God's Word says that that's what's going to happen, you try that
right. And
see if it works. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you, if it's written in His Word, it'll work. If you're doing what you're, if you're living in obedience and loving the way that God tells you to love, you might not have everything you want, but you will have everything you need.
That's right.
Amen? Mm-hmm. We got our needs and our wants all kind of messed up in America.
Yeah.
Right? We say that we need these things, but really and truly, what do we need? We need just enough.
Just enough clothes.
And roof over your head. Little pinto beans and cornbread. All right? So about 30 minutes later.
Convenient. You're saying Proverbs convenient?
Convenient, yeah.
Convenient. Food convenient for me?
Yes, food convenient for me.
Proverbs 30 maybe?
I think it is. It's right around in there. Yeah. And so in verse 10 he says, there he says, that ye should inherit the blessing. Verse 9. Blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. So if you're blessing others, guess what God's going to do to you?
Bless you.
He's going to bless you. I want to have that joy coming from God.
Amen.
And the only way I can sure enough get that blessing from God is I got to bless other people.
Yes.
Especially those in the brethren, the church, right? Really caring for those more than others. Verse 10 says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil as his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and eschew it. Eschew it, that doesn't mean like you're putting on a sneaker. That means go after it. Chase after it. It's not like you sneeze. Eschew. No, that's... You need to pursue peace. You need to run away from evil, get it off, but also bring peace to you. So I guess eschew means two different things. Let him eschew evil, and let him seek peace and eschew it. So seek peace and get away. Oh, different spelling there. E-S-C-H-E-W and E-N-S-U-E. Ensue and eschew.
I think
ensue means pursue. Oh, that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was just saying the word wrong. Because I know what ensue means. But when I was speaking, it wasn't coming right off of my tongue. And so, you need to go after peace. You need to seek peace. You need to look for those peaceful moments, those times to show the love and the grace of God to others. How do you drive away wickedness or anger? A soft word drives away wrath. You want to stop an argument quick? Talk about how nice they are. it works for some folks. Some folks it none's good. But, anyhow. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. All right, so if you're doing the right things, God is looking at you. He's watching you. He's like that shepherd looking over his flock, and he's just taking care of you. And He hears your call. He hears your prayers. He knows your needs. And He's looking to bless you. But the face of the Lord is against those that do evil.
Right.
I want to be on the first part of that, not on the second part of that. So my doing's got to be a little different than what the world's doing is. My doing can't be the doing that, the way that this party or that party or this group of people or that group of people do stuff. I need to do things that are going to please the Lord. I need to go after Him. Go after His wisdom, His love. We ought to have that mind. Finally, be of one mind. Right? Having that mind together. And verse 13. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? Who's going to hurt you? Who's going to hurt you if you're doing something good? Besides FOMO. You know?
Well, even if they do.
Come on, sister,
if
right.
If you're grounded in God, you let it roll off.
There you go. Roll
off. You know who you are.
Yes. even when they do bad stuff, and they will, they're going to come after you. It's all right. It's okay. We have a promise in Christ Jesus that He's going to bless us.
Amen.
I'm not going to be blessed by this world. There's nothing in this world that can bless me. Really and truly.
If you are, so.
Amen. Absolutely. My blessing does not come from here. And I love being with my wife, but my joy doesn't come from my wife, right? My joy comes from a relationship with God. And because I have that relationship with God, He's given me this relationship with this woman that is super catchphrasalicious. Even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious. Oh, he says, but sanctify the Lord. That word sanctify. That means to set apart. To set the Lord apart in your life. Not getting away from Him, but have Him high and above every other thing.
Amen.
Sanctify Him. He's holy. And He wants to be treated as holy, as just, as good. He desires that of us and in us. Sanctify the Lord in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now catch that real quick. Sanctify the Lord, right? He's holy, He's just, He's up, He's high above us, right? And we're supposed to be loving people, having compassion with people, being careful for people, not being mean back at people. That's all of that is a lifestyle. And then with that, see, it's not about your works, it's about you sanctifying God. It's not, well, I've crossed all the T's today, I've dotted all the I's, so I'm good. See, when you're sanctifying God the way that we're supposed to be sanctifying God, seeing Him high and lifted up, and His train's filling the temple, and the angels are singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and the earth is filled with His glory. When that's happening around you, all of a sudden it's easier to do those other things.
Amen.
Right? Because I know that there is a place, there is a time that I'm going to be with Him in glory. Right? So what in the world can they do to me, to us? We have a hope, right? And he tells us that this is the hope in us. Now, when we tell people the hope in us, we need to do it meekly. Here's an unmeek one. I'm going to heaven, you're going to hell. Yep. I trusted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Yeah, I slid into home. I'm good to go. You need to try it because I'm gooder than you. All right? How many times have you heard that from people, Christians, right? They may not say it with their words, but they say it in their actions. Now, Jesus, not that those aren't true facts, but that's not meekness. They will, President said this, not this one here, they will never know how much you care. They will never care how much you know until they know how much you care.
That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So you can have all the knowledge, all the scripture, all the stuff, all the ways to God that there is, right? You can quote scripture and lead them through scripture and all that kind of stuff. But if they can't see you caring for them, they don't care what you know.
Amen.
Right? So real love, real compassion, having that real mindset has a work that's involved with it. It's a hands-on Christianity. Right? If a brother or sister come to you naked and destitute of food, James, I think it's chapter 4, says, and if you say, I'll pray for you, I'm going to pray, bless your heart, I'm going to pray for you, I'm get out of my house. I ain't going to give you, that's my last can of beans, I ain't going to give you those things. But they come to you and they're naked, they're destitute of food, and you say you'll pray for them, and you don't tend to those needs, your religion is worthless. It's dead. It has nothing to it. I don't want to have a dead religion. I want to have a lively religion. I want to have a relationship with God that is real and it's deep and it's fervent and it moves on me, around me, and it moves other people to know God and to desire what I already have. Now, in that, that's some stuff. That takes some work. That takes some faith.
Mm-hmm.
Because to do that is so much against my flesh. Because my flesh says, well, how can I give to you if I can't supply for me? And God says, supply for them, and I'll take care of you.
Amen.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so and when they see that, when they see that, they it creates a hunger in them. They'll say, how can you have such peace in such turmoil? All right, as he says, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asking you a reason for the hope. See, a reason for the hope.
Right.
See, and you got to know who you are in Christ a lot. You got to know who God is, and that He's a supplier, that He's a healer, that He's a lover, that He is the Father to the fatherless. Amen. And He has compassion for the lost. And when we tell people about that, have that fire in your eye, right? Not that, praise God, I'm going to heaven and you ain't, you know. You got to be, praise God, let me tell you of the hope I have. My hope is in Christ Jesus, and this is how I got it.
Amen.
This is who I was, this is what He did for me, and this is the promise that I'm coming to. This is who you are, this is what God can do for you, and the promise is the same.
Amen.
Right? And it does not matter age, color, creed, religion, religiosity, or any of that stuff. Doesn't matter how much money you've got. Handle that child, or I'll go back here and get him.
I never pay attention to what people are doing.
I was just making sure he wasn't breaking a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
So I got to pass
that.
Got to
make sure he's preaching it right.
There you go. And so anyhow, and so you look at that. You look at what God has for you. Having a good conscience, verse 16, having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, that they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Amen? So even when you're doing good and they hate you for it anyhow, they don't like you for it anyhow, you show them good anyway.
Right.
You don't let them... If you're a Christian and they accuse you of thieving, make sure that they're wrong. Right? You ain't stealing. Even the small things on the job site. So you go to work and it's a 15-minute break in the morning, 30-minute break at lunch, or 15-minute break in the afternoon. That doesn't mean you take a 25-minute break in the morning and a 40-minute break at lunch and then another 25. Because that's stealing. It's stealing from your boss. They ought to be able to see, he thinks he don't cuss, he don't smoke, but he's... You know, he does the right thing all the time.
Right.
When you take the pen from the bank, turn around, bring it back to him. You know, don't be a thief of any sort.
I think they're free.
Somebody paid for them.
But they put them off.
Yeah, you think they're free. I give them back. I got better pens at the house. But it brings up, there you go. But it brings up a good conversation when you bring it back to them. He says, well, that was free.
They would probably look at you like,
you can have that. Yeah.
Besides with COVID, they don't want them back.
No, you go. Well, wipe it under your nose and drop it on the table. But don't let them speak evil of you as of an evildoer. And I use taking pens and stuff. Don't let anyone accuse you of something. Well, if they accuse you, make sure it's not true. Because you can't stop people from accusing you.
No.
They're going to do what they're going to do. But if they do accuse you, make sure that what they're accusing you of is not true.
Amen.
And so, that you may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ, your good lifestyle in Christ Jesus. See, we are supposed to be in the world, not of the world. And remember, it comes back to that first thing. Finally, be of one mind, having compassion for one another, loving as brethren, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when we do those things, when we walk in the holiness and the righteousness of God, we apply these teachings to our lives, all of a sudden things become different and people start to notice. All right? They may not like you because, he's one of those Bible thumpers. Mm-hmm. He don't do... Anyhow, all right, they call me a Bible thumper, they call you a Bible thumper. Praise God. Yeah, that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing to be called. Yeah, you're right, I'm a Christian, I believe the Bible. Right? I'm a Christian, I love you even though you don't like me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay. I don't think that many folks really understand that anymore. We got this weird thing in America called rights. Mm-hmm. You're stomping on my rights. Wait a second, you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, then you're a slave.
That's right.
A slave ain't got no rights.
Right?
You don't have rights. You have the right to talk to your father. Right? You have a right to communicate with God. You have a right to sit down in the kingdom of God with Christ Jesus. Those are your rights.
Right.
Nothing in this world. The Constitution, praise God for it. The Bill of Rights, praise God for them. But we have perverted those papers so much, they don't mean what they used to mean. I would rather have my Constitution here in the Word of God.
Amen.
Than anything that Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson and all those other boys wrote. Right? Now, don't get me wrong, praise God that they did it. But I really think that the Republic that was given to us has fallen. All right? I wish I could say it another way, but I really and truly, it's not what we turned away from God as a nation.
That's right.
All right, and as we turned away from God and as a nation, He says He'll do certain things, and this is what He promised He would do.
Yeah.
And so those who are in Christ Jesus, even though the turmoil, the hard stuff is coming, keep this mindset in you, right? That you are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You are equal. You are the brother of Jesus Christ. You are his child. You are in him. And so everything else is all okay. It will work out for good. We don't have to understand how or why or when. Let your lifestyle be something that God would look at and say, well done,
amen,
my good and faithful servant. That's what we're seeking. That's what we ought to be looking for. And I'm not worried about the folks who storm the White House, whether they're on the left or on the right, I don't care. But what happened, what conspired, what grew out of that, is nothing good is going to come out of that. Really, nothing good's going to come out of it. The peaceful people who were there are going to be persecuted just the same as the violent people were. What's that about evil company?
Yeah.
Corrupts one. My mama used to tell me, yeah. Mm-hmm. If you hang out with bad folks, you're going to be. Even if you didn't do it, you're hanging out with the wrong people that did do it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you can be as clean. Pardon?
Labeled,
yeah. And so I'd rather be labeled as a Christian.
Amen.
I'd rather be labeled as a lover of souls. And I'd rather be labeled as one of those crazy Bible thumpers, you know, talking about Jesus coming back.
Amen.
You know, I'd rather be labeled as one of those who are standing on the wall, sounding the trumpet of the acceptable day of the Lord. Right? Those are the things that we ought to be looking to do, especially in these times. Because people, I think my wife told me that she heard from somebody that this past year, 2020, the most... They sold more Bibles this year than they've sold ever before in history.
Uh-huh.
More Bibles. Now, I don't know if they're reading them, but they're buying them.
And they doubled the price.
Oh, did they?
I bought a bunch of the Bibles that I'm using for my study to give to family members at $8.99. I went on to put a link in case somebody wanted the same Bible for the year. It was $16.99.
Wow.
And they were back ordered. Wouldn't be into managing.
I bet they're printed in China. They are. Well, every Bible I got is printed in China. You know that? They don't even let people read the Bible in China. And every Bible I got is printed in China. You know, so it's a shame. Yep. All Right Reserve printed in China. 2011.
Wow.
So, and this is a good old King James Bible. You know? And so, anyhow, they can put the ink on paper. Don't mean they believe it. So, our job is just make sure the ink that's on the paper gets into us.
Amen.
I don't care who prints it. God did.
God,
right?
God's word is God's word. No matter what language,
amen,
or what version,
yep,
it is still His.
Well, if it is, I mean, there are some of those versions that ain't.
Well,
you know,
that's up to God. I can't judge that because I'm not.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Right.
I hear you.
What's wonderful is your Bible was printed in China.
Yeah.
Now, if they could, they would change words in there.
Yes.
But Almighty God does not allow anything to be changed.
No.
All right. Man, I got everybody everybody's looking on the front of the Bible. Hey, come back to Peter. You know.
Very precious seeds, Prince Bible, if you want.
And oh.
And that's with the ministry that prints them. If you don't want a Bible printer.
A Bible. I didn't
if
know
If you
that.
Want to support a small Bible printing operation.
Very precious seeds.
Very precious seeds. That's where Chris gets all his Bible
I didn't even know that.
And it's a really, really good Bible.
From Ohio?
Yeah.
No, see, I've been buying Bibles for
It's a very small company. The website, it doesn't have a ton to offer, but Chris does a lot of Bible studies and writes in his margins and stuff. It holds up.
Well, praise God. Verse 17, for it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. See what God says there? He says, listen, it's better if you suffer for doing good than suffer for doing evil. I know that if I anticipate ruling with Christ, I must also accept the sufferings of Christ.
Amen.
Christianity is not easy.
No.
It really is. It makes you die to yourself every day.
Yeah.
It makes you look to the will of God, not to your own will. It makes you change your thinking, because there are things that I thought before I was a Christian that I just don't know as truth anymore. I knew them as truth way back when. You know, I used to believe that I came from a monkey and I could rattle off 4 or 5 different stages of monkey. because I went to school. That's because I shortened up, I could drag my knuckles. I thought it was true.
Yeah.
But anyhow, I heard that barely.
Yeah.
So, but see, now you're in Christ. If we're going to suffer, let us suffer for loving people.
Amen.
Let us suffer for spreading the gospel. Let us suffer for giving to those who are in need. Let us suffer for giving to our brothers that are in need. If I'm going to go hungry, I want to go hungry feeding somebody who's hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing it, all right? So I don't need that extra slice. I don't need, instead of having it for myself, I want to give it to somebody else. I want to bring them into my house and love them and show compassion to them. And that's how you're going to win souls, especially in this time that we're coming up, that we're coming up into. Verse 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God and put to death in the flesh, but quicken it by the Spirit. All right? Yeah, I want to be alive. That quicken it means made alive. All right? I want to put to death this flesh that I can live in the fullness of God. I don't need my will to be done.
Amen.
What I want does not matter. And do we understand that it doesn't matter what we want?
Amen.
You know, when God was making the world, he didn't ask Adam about any of it. He told him to name the animals, right? But he didn't say, how green does the grass need to be, or how blue the sky, or, you know, how tall is that tree got to be, and, you know, what color stripes need I put on a bumblebee's tail? You know, he didn't ask none of those questions.
He never asked us if it's convenient.
Right. Thank you. Because our convenience does not matter.
No.
It's not about us.
Right.
If we're in Christ Jesus, if we are his slave, if we're his servant,
amen.
It's all about him. It's all about the gospel. It's all about that loving people, loving God and loving others. Right? And showing that in the hard times. It's easy to love people on Sunday morning in the church house.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Or on Wednesday night. It's easy. Mostly. It's easy here in the house of God.
Yeah.
But how about for those folks who hate you? Can you love them too? Can you show compassion to the people that we don't think deserve compassion? Now, notice how I said that we don't think they deserve compassion. But didn't Christ die for them the same as he died for you? Didn't he offer them salvation the same as he offered you salvation?
Yeah.
doesn't his heart break when they pass away outside of the boundaries of Christ?
Yeah.
Our heart ought to break for those folks too.
Amen.
We ought to be loving them, caring for them, praying for them,
yeah,
lifting them up. And I know that unless the Father moves on a man, he can't be saved. But you know what we can do to help that? Well, loving people, right? And praying for people.
Amen.
You know, because I don't know if you can love somebody out of something, but you can definitely love somebody into something,
mm-hmm,
right? You can, I don't know if I can rescue somebody out of their lifestyle, but I can pray to God,
yes,
and he send the Holy Spirit and change their lifestyle.
Right, right.
It might take a while to do. I mean, people prayed for me for a long time before I got sober, you know?
Yeah.
People prayed for me for a long time before I got a lot of stuff. But God, right? He saw me in the middle of it, called me right out of it, and brought me to where I am today. For Christ, in verse 18 again, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Oh, yeah. Think about this. You've been justified in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
What a great honor and reward that is. What are you willing to do to somebody who's in the body of Christ, kind of half in and half out? We call them, I call them peripheral Christians. All right, they're the ones who come to church when it's convenient. Right?
Yeah.
They come to church and they'll read their Bible with you, but they won't really read their Bible. You know, those kind of folks who they'll pray about my sick dog, but they'll never pray about repentance for sin.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that kind of stuff. Those folks. What if we were really to seek those people out with a compassion? Seek those people out and say, yeah, I'm not casting stones. I'm not going to say anything about this. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to come alongside that person. I'm going to park close to them. I'm going to spend the time that I have with them. I'm going to show up on their doorstep every once in a while. And we're going to read our Bible together. I'm going to burn in front of them the compassion of Christ and see if they can catch fire. You know, nothing starts a fire better than the spark that's already going.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You ever try to start a fire on damp wood? You can do it. It's not easy. But if you've got a fire already going, you got a fire, and you throw that damp wood in there, it'll burn. Right? We got a lot of damp wood Christians. And these folks that are here, you folks right here tonight, you're right there. Y'all come alongside somebody and catch them. Can't burn them up. Burn them up with your love, with your compassion, with what God has given you, and watch what happens to a life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, God can change people.
Amen.
He says, if Christ suffered, then we ought to be able to suffer. The just for the unjust. And so, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and he preached unto the spirits in prison. We talked about that. Which sometimes were disobedient. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherewith a few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Like the figure whereunto even baptism doeth also now save us, putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All right, so when you look here, what he's rolling this into, Jesus, the Holy One of God, the Holy of Holies, right? Jesus, the Lamb of God, after he died, he went to hell. He went to the grave. And when he was in the grave, he preached to those who were even disobedient.
Yes.
Right? Remember the account that's given of the rich man and Lazarus?
Yes.
They were close enough to hear each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so imagine when Jesus showed up there on the side of Abraham's bosom, right, and he started talking about the grace of God. He started talking about the love of God for every human being. Didn't say he delivered those folks who were disobedient, but he preached to them. See, we can't deliver those folks who are disobedient, but you know what we can do? We can love them. We can share the truth with them. We can give them what God has given us. We can pour what God, the blessings that God has given us out to other lives. And as we do that, who knows? Who knows what God will do? I know what He'll do. He'll save a few. He'll change a heart. He'll move somebody because He's compassionate for those folks. He's compassionate for you folks. I keep saying those folks like we're different. We're not. We were lost just like them.
Excellent.
And putting away, not putting away the filth of the flesh, but answer a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Christ Jesus, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, the angels and the authorities and the powers being made subject unto Him. Now you're in Christ Jesus, right? Christ Jesus is in the heavenlies, at the right hand of the Father, the right hand of the Creator, and all of the angels up there under His authority. All of the authorities or the powers, they're under His oversight. All of the things that are going on, Jesus is in control.
Amen.
Right? Understand this. It's Jesus is in control. Over how many authorities? All. All the angels, both good and bad, all of them. He is in control over. That means Lucifer, who's in control of him?
Yeah.
You can say his name. God. We're in church. Say his name.
God.
Jesus. You're right. But he is in control. He's in charge. All of the authorities, all these powers and principalities in the heavenly realms, who's in charge? Jesus, right? The craziness in Washington, who's in charge?
Jesus.
Craziness in Russia, who's in charge?
Jesus.
When Soro dies, who's he going to see?
Satan.
I hear you. When Cuomo dies, it says this, that it's appointed unto man once to die and then comes the judgment. One thing's for sure, you will go to the God whom you have served.
That's right.
All right?
That's right.
And so we got to make sure we're serving the one true God.
Yeah.
We're serving Christ Jesus and Him alone.
Amen.
So yeah, things are crazy. Or we think they're crazy. Are they? I don't think so. I think God is absolutely in control.
Oh, of course.
He's absolute. We may not be seeing it. You know, because all we see is what we see inside of this little eggshell that we live in.
Yeah.
But God, He's got all of these things working for His good pleasure.
Yeah.
It's for His good pleasure. If America falls, it's for God's good pleasure.
Yeah.
Right? It does not matter the name America. You know, that does not matter. The name Christ, church, Christian, that matters.
Amen.
Right? That matters. Constitution don't matter. Bill of Rights don't matter. Because they've already perverted that so bad that it's not even worth reading no more. Well, you can read it. And if it would apply, it would be great. But they don't do that. The powers that be won't do that. And that's okay. Because
right.
We have a word that does not change.
Amen.
Right? We have a God that's the same yesterday, today,
Amen.
And forever. He's given us some promises in this book. And if we'll follow Him, those promises will be true. Right? If we don't follow Him, guess what? Those promises are still true. Because He's got promises for the folks who don't follow Him too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's not up to me to decide right, good, bad, clean, dirty, indifferent. Ain't none of my business. All I got to do is exactly what the Bible said. Have this mind that is in you that was also in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Have this oneness in the body of Christ. Have the one baptism, the one Father, the one Spirit, the one truth. Amen.
Amen.
And if we got that, who cares about the rest of the world? It's you've heard it, the world's going to hell in a handbasket?
Yeah.
It is.
It is.
It is. And it is well with my soul.
Amen.
Amen. It's well with my soul. Can't change it. So what do we do? Out of all this that we talked about today, what do we do in times like this?
Pray.
Pray. All right. What's something else? Love. Right? You got to pray. You got to love. There's a name that starts with A and ends apply. See, I said it the same way. And lie. A lie with apply. Apply. You got to apply what you read. You got to put it on. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Wear Him like a mantle. You know, he's the first thing that comes out of your mouth.
Amen.
He's the first thing that comes to your mind. When people do nasty things to you, he's the first thing you hit them back with. Hit them back with a big old love from Jesus, right? It's a hard thing to do, like my sister said. That takes maturity.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Jesus calls a perfect person.
And we're surrounded more and more by evil.
Yes, we are.
And you can feel it.
Yes.
And it's more difficult.
Yeah.
You really have to stay strong with the Lord, because there's days when you feel like, yes, God, I feel like
that's why we need this. All right?
Yeah.
And what did the enemy try to do? Separate the body of Christ. He made people close down the churches. He made people wear masks.
Yeah.
And that's all. Now, God's in charge. And the reason, I really believe that the reason that God allowed that to happen, when I say allowed that, and I said it last Sunday, God removed his hand of protection.
Yeah.
All right? And when God removed his hand of protection, that gave the dog the free run of the yard.
Yeah.
Right? And that dog is running around. He's biting people as hard as he can. But that's okay. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray,
amen,
they would seek my face, they would turn from their wicked ways, then God promised he would hear from heaven and heal the land.
Right.
Doesn't mean make mealy mouth prayers. It means really confess your sin before God. Don't heal my sick dog. Prayers. I mean real hard prayers. No, I'm not saying God doesn't care about your sick dog. What I am saying is that he cares about your sick soul a lot more than he cares about your sick dog.
That's right.
Right? If we would confess before God, and I mean, he already knows our sin, if we would be straight up. Like David was. Why was David a man after God's own heart? He knew to pray. He knew how to confess. Read the Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
And just read them, how he says, ugh, I'm a worm.
He repented.
He did.
He was great in his repentance.
Yes, he was great and honest and open.
That's
and
right.
He was an open book before God. He didn't hold none of his ugliness back. And he laid it out for us all to read.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why are we so ashamed that we're a sinner? Right? I'm too ashamed to confess that to God. He already knows. Right? The confession is not for him, it's for you. That's why we confess things to one another. And it's not that I need to know stuff about you, but I need to know how to pray for you. I need to know how to come along beside you, to help you, to build, edify you. You need to know how to come along beside me, pray for me, edify me. I need it. I tell you.
Yes.
The dogs are on the front porch, and they're howling. We're living in a wicked day.
Yeah. Where two or three are gathered.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And there he is.
Absolutely.
That's why we need to forsake not the assembly of ourselves together. As some is.
Yeah.
As they see the day approaching. Folks, I see the day approaching.
Oh, yeah.
This church ought to be, this building ought to be filled with the church. building ought to be filled with the church. And I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I think it is.
That's right. The church isn't big numbers.
No.
It's a remnant.
Mm-hmm.
The remnant.
And how will they know that you're Christian? By your love one for another.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what we read today.
Mm-hmm.
In the turmoil of the hour, in the turmoil of the day, love one another. Right? I love you guys, so I'm going to let you go home. So we could talk all night. Because I didn't do the first part of the chapter. We could go back to wives, submit to your husband. Be subject to your husband. Husbands, love your wives.
Let's not ruin when.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll kick that dog another day.
Yeah.
Amen. Anyhow,
folks. Now those verses. When you get that,
yeah,
oh, I love you. Oh, dear Father, we thank you so much for your love, your grace, Father. And I thank you for the body that you brought together tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray that peace, real peace.
Amen.
We have heard today, Father, that we can find that hope that's only
yes.
found in you. Lord, and as we smile in the face of trials, as we
Amen.
Smile and are joyful in the times of persecution, Father, people might ask, why are you so joyful in such a time as this?
and we have the knowledge and the grace to express your love to them. And Lord, we thank you. We praise you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.